How is international aid used in disasters, and how should it be used? Many experts are asking that as the climate brings more extreme events. Just this week, private funders pledged nearly $2.5 billion in aid for Somalia, Ethiopia, and Kenya. That's welcome news. But where should money be spent? And when, before or after disaster strikes? Jake Biddle wrote about this for the publication Grist, and he joins us. Hi, Jake.
Thanks so much for having me. Hi.
You know, I reported in and around Somalia back in 2011 when a famine was declared. The widespread sense then was that the world's aid money came too late because of bureaucracy, because there was a war making things dangerous for aid workers. Is there a sense this time the same thing is happening, a drought and near famine, and the money is coming too late?
Yeah, so it is kind of a rerun of the 2011 disaster, which was more severe. And in the aftermath of that disaster, a lot of aid organizations said, we really have to do better, and started talking about what they call anticipatory aid that comes earlier, or long-term adaptation funding to help people prepare for drought. But despite that talk, there hasn't quite been that sort of systemic shift toward that anticipatory aid.
Hmm. And explain kind of for the rest of us what the concept is, anticipatory aid.
Right. So most humanitarian aid historically has arrived only once a disaster has already happened or a conflict has already begun. But the thesis with anticipatory aid is that since a lot of climate disasters especially can be forecasted with pretty good accuracy, you can provide cash payments or information to people before the disaster actually happens. You save a lot of money and you protect people from the displacement and hunger that tends to follow those droughts.
And so in the case of a famine, I'm trying to understand how this might work. You know, when I went,
right,
there were already people who had left for assistance, refugee camps in Ethiopia and in Kenya. They left Somalia. In other cases, they died along their way and they ran out of water. How might anticipatory money help get on the front end of these things?
So when we know that the rainy seasons are going to fail over consecutive seasons, what we can do is you can give people cash before they end up seeing the local economy collapse. But also you can go around and say, okay, you should plant a different crop this year because that one's not going to survive. Or perhaps you should sell off your herd before the prices for goats collapse. It basically insulates people from the economic disaster of drought and also gives them money, you know, to escape or to go somewhere else before there's like a big rush out of the country, right? So I think it's important to know we can forecast with really good accuracy when this is going to happen, but a government like Somalia's doesn't quite have the resources to do this early warning stuff. So that's where the humanitarian aid becomes so important.
Right now, how does aid typically go to these places? What does it typically pay for?
Yeah, in the case of something like Somalia where there's a hunger crisis, it really is mostly just, you know, emergency food supplies, which the U.S. has provided a lot of, or vouchers or cash payments. But, you know, what tends to happen is a disaster happens, the U.N. and other organizations make appeals to wealthy countries to donate, and then those countries donate and that money goes there once the disaster has already crescendoed.
And as I hear you talk about this, I'm just thinking the concept of funding for prevention in so many areas is such a challenging one. Prevention for medical care, and in this case, prevention or to try to get out in front early of a disaster like this. Is there inertia in the system for those who say it's going to be hard or almost impossible to turn this ship? What are the challenges?
Yeah, I think the challenges are that the motivation to give this funding is sort of the appeal, right? It is literally an appeal, right? You see the pictures and you see the impacts, and that's what's tended to cause that money to be raised in the past. I think that there is a lot of momentum to turn this around, and I think that specifically when it comes to climate disasters, there's been a lot of progress in the UN and other countries in sort of at least discussing the idea that you would have a dedicated fund to prepare for disasters and to deal with the impacts, you know, rather than just only raising money once it's already gotten bad.
Are there examples where this anticipatory aid is showing to work?
Yeah, so the World Food Program has an experimental program. This has been practiced in Bangladesh and Namibia, where they will give people money right before a major flood event, right? So they'll hand out a cash payment for a few hundred dollars a few days before a major cyclone approaches, right? And this allows people to, you know, do emergency repairs to their house or to get out, you know, rather than evacuate once the streets have already flooded. And this has been shown to really, really help. You know, it leads to dramatically faster recovery and also avoids a lot of loss of life. As soon as you get them that money before the disaster happens, it makes the path to recovery a lot easier.
We've been talking to Jake Biddle of Grist. Jake, thanks for the time.
Thanks so much.